Good morning. Welcome to the service this morning. I'm just going to highlight one or two of the intimations. First of all, creche. A creche is going to be provided in the small hall. So if you know of any parents who would come to church, if there was a creche facility available, please let them know. And also the co-op community grant. It's a new grant this year, and once again, Fort St Paul's has been nominated, but this time it's Fort St Paul's Parish Church that you have to nominate for the grant. So if you're a co-op member, you need to change your allegiance, if you like, from the planet Earth to Fort Parish Church. Also, the Kirk Session would formally like to thank everyone for your wonderful support during all the activities and events that we when we celebrated the 150th anniversary. We celebrated that the church building had been here in Forth Main Street for 150 years, and we wanted to highlight a few of the people who worked hard to put up the displays and to organise the events and the food. The floral displays by Rina and her team, the food events by Karen and her team, the films and presentations by Margaret and her team, Lynn and Aileen for the displays in the halls, Christine and Lynn for organising the games and activities during the Family Fun Day, Christine for her display during the Gala Day and the Week of Displays, Christine and Jigsaw team for the wonderful Thanksgiving service to round it all off, dancing in the aisles, an amazing end to all the events. Karen, for her work with the school children and the wonderful displays of tents in the small hall. Then you all of you, and the community of Forth, for providing photos, memorabilia, buying the pens, taking part in the quiz, which was won by Isa, who donated her winnings to the church, and also all of you who contributed with the tent displays. We didn't have a competition this year, and all the children at the school got a sweetie for taking part. So I've got some sweeties here for Jigsaw to take down to give to the children. The ones that aren't here can get it next week. Okay? And also for the congregation, there'll be a sweetie for you all as you leave the church to thank you for all your support. The icing on the cake. The icing on the cake of all the celebrations is that a total of £1,241.79 was raised for church funds. So thank you. We also welcome Susan on the organ today and Alan Grant, who's come to lead our worship. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning,
and thank you, Jean. And surprisingly, the microphone has continued to work, and I've only touched it once. I'm always delighted to be able to come back and to Forth and share in worship. And this morning, it's the psalmist who calls us to worship. Psalm 65 wrote, "Praise awaits you, O God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all people will come. Blessed are those who you choose and bring near to live in your courts." So let us honour God with our praise this morning, here in this place, in this sanctuary, as we sing to his glory, hymn number 160, "Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring." It's hymn 160.
To his feet thy tribute brings. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his fears should sing. Praise him, praise.
Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. We united our voices to sing God's praise. Let's unite hearts and minds to bring our tribute of prayer. Let's pray. Father in Heaven, it is to you we turn, for you alone are our God. You are the source of all life. It is only you who gives life meaning and purpose. It's only with you we find our true being. Although we cannot see you with our eyes, your presence in our lives is real and brings a new dimension to our living. You abound in love to all that call to you. You bring stability to our often troubled lives. You are our guide and companion, helping us to face and overcome our greatest fears. You are with us as we travel through every dark valley, every difficulty we experience. You're constantly supporting us, holding us up when we stumble, and encouraging us when we become weary and confused. For all your blessings, for your faithful care and love for us, we praise you. We praise you and offer to you our worship, worship that comes from grateful hearts. That despite your unfailing love for us, and despite all your goodness, we can be slow to answer your call. We become so caught up with our own lives and our own interests, we have little time for you. And so we come before you this day asking your forgiveness. We ask that you forgive us our self-centeredness, Give us a wider vision. Forgive us if we've complained about our lives instead of giving thanks for your love for us. Forgive us if we've disobeyed you or ignored you. Forgive us those times when our love grew cold and we lost faith, hope, and the strength to continue. So as we come into you now, we bring the words we've spoken, the actions we've committed, the times we sat idly by and did nothing, and in the silence, ask your forgiveness. Gracious God, we thank you for the blessing of forgiveness. We thank you for friends whose loyalty and love have supported our lives. We thank you for the wealth of truth and beauty that has encircled our lives. And above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. It is in his name we bring all our prayers. We bring our prayers to the one who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. Now, I see lots of shoe boxes have come in. I also have a box. But before I show you what's in it, does anyone watch the athletics on television? Or does anyone do any running? Or just running around? In my younger days, as a youth, I joined, which was at that time, the newly formed running club in Law Village. It was Law and District Amateur Athletic Club. I don't know if anyone here has ever been a member of it, but it goes far afield. It became a very successful, and still is, a successful running club. And in my time there, the club entered us for all sorts of competitions. There was local events, there was area championships, there was a cross-country, there was relay races, road races, and then especially in the summer months, there was Highland Games. So we would run every week with a competition somewhere. And there was prizes. They varied. It was cups, medals, trophies. Particularly Highland Games, it would be gifts. Things like a clock, a travelling alarm, a tartan blanket. Sounds like the generation game on the conveyor belt. We never got a cuddly toy, but the big events, you might, if you won and you were a senior, you would get a full canteen of cutlery, and it would go right down to maybe a set of knife and forks or teaspoons. But there was lots of prizes on offer. And in here, I have brought something with me. Something which to me is just so important. So, a great significance to me in my days in running. Would anyone like to guess what that might be for my days in running? Nope. No. A cup?
A trophy.
A trophy. You're on the right lines. But it's even better than that. This thing is better. I'll show you. You'll never guess what it is. This really is special, and I've treasured this. It's this. Now, it's not a lucky number. It's just a random number. But why is that so important? This is the number I was... This is my entry number, the number I was given, the number I was wearing when I won my first race. And that was special. It was a 220 yards sprint. It's now, they've metrified it, it's 200 yards. And if you've seen them on television, you'll see there's all the lanes, and it's also a staggered. So everybody covers the same distance. Some folks are a way around the bend. I have that effect, folks. Round the bend, others are right at the start. It's tight. And I was allotted the very outside lane. Now what that means is you can't see anybody, no other competitor. You're just there. So the gun went off, and off I went. And as we got off the bend, and the stagger unrolled, down the home street, there was still nobody in front of me. And I'd never experienced this before, and I'm thinking it's been a false start. I slowed down to look, and everybody's behind me. And away I went again. I got a row from one of the coaches for slowing down, but it never happened to me. And I remember breaking the tape. It wasn't a tape, it was a piece of wool. It was 1968. It was Wednesday evening. It was a competition in Lark Hall. Remember all that. That was the number I was wearing, and it's just so special. It's so important to me. Now, why are we talking about running? Well, later on in church, we're going to hear the words of the Apostle Paul. And he was speaking as though he was an athlete in a race, like the race of life. He was talking about discipleship. He said, "Fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." You see, in a race, athletes must keep going. Not stop, slow down, have a look round about. You keep going. As followers of Jesus, we've to keep on going as well. But we can be tempted to slow down, perhaps even give up and say, "I can't be bothered today. I can't be bothered going to church today." Have you ever felt that way? Yes. We've all felt that way at times. "Oh, I just can't be bothered." Paul says, keep on. Run the race. Don't give up. And Paul didn't give up. He had some tough times, and he was tempted to stop and just give up, but he didn't. He kept on going because he said he trusted in God always to be with him, to help him. So the message for us today, the takeaway for today is, keep going. Don't give up. Keep going. Trust God. And in that way, we all finish as winners. Our little thought for today, keep the faith and trust in God, and we'll all finish as winners. So as we think of Paul trusting the Lord at all times, giving him the strength to go on, we're going to sing hymn 577. "Is Christ Be Beside Me?" 577.
Thank you. first reading this morning is from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up at the heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Second reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, and then from 16 to 18. "For I am robbed, already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have longed for his appearing. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me to safety, to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen."
Thank you, Bill. The Apostle Paul never questioned the depth of God's love for him, or the length which he would go to hold on to him and to save those who put their trust in him, regardless of the life previously lived. And that's a love for which Paul was ever so grateful. He was eternally grateful for that. And that's why we'll sing hymn 549, "How Deep the Father's Love." It's hymn 549.
Thank you.
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Jesus is again speaking of prayer. And that's something which his own life he did frequently. I read of a prayer someone used every day, every single day of life. Lord, so far today, I am doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-centered. I have not whined, complained, or eaten any chocolate. However, in a few minutes, I am going to get up and out of bed. After that, I'll really need your help to keep me going for the rest of the day. Well, this morning, Jesus tells a parable of two very different people at prayer. On one hand, we have a Pharisee, a frequent worshipper at the temple. He prayed regularly. He gave to the poor. Faithfully kept every single religious law and regulation. He was generous with his offerings, more than he needed to be. Gave far more to the temple than was required by the scriptures. This was an upstanding, decent, honest man. He was admired, respected, and a valued member of the community. He was a good man. On the other hand, there was a tax collector, and there was nothing good about him. Like the Pharisee, he was also Jewish, but he worked for the hated Romans, the occupying forces. And he abused his position. He overcharged and exploited others, even his own people, all for his own personal gain. He was dishonest and he was devious. And by the way he treated even the poorest, the weakest in the community, he was heartless. He really was a bad character. So we have to admit, the Pharisee was the better man. Now just think, if a respected, well-known, upstanding, good family man came to church one morning, and an equally well-known, dishonest, unscrupulous, cheating scoundrel slipped in at the back, who is more likely to get the better reception? Who is the one that people would nod to, smile in recognition, and welcome with a cheery good morning as they sit down beside them? Who's the one that people would avoid making eye contact, hope they would sit somewhere else? So perhaps when we think of these two characters in the parable in those ways, we may get a flavour of what Jesus' listeners were thinking at the time. So when he announced the tax collector and not the Pharisee went home justified before God, his listeners would have been dumbfounded. The Pharisee was the epitome of a good religious man. The tax collector represented everything that was wrong. Now, I don't think any of us would identify ourselves with the Pharisee or the way he regarded himself better than others. We try to live our lives the best we can and always, well, most of the time, try to do what's right Unlike the Pharisee, we tend to be much more modest. Equally, it's unlikely we would identify ourselves with the way the tax collector lived his life. If we're being truthful, we may admit that sometimes we get things wrong. We may upset others by what we say. We can get a little short-tempered, perhaps occasionally annoyed. But basically, we're not too bad. And we could probably come up with a few other people we know who are definitely a lot worse than ourselves. So if we were asked to assess ourselves against the example of the Pharisee or the tax collector, where would we place ourselves? I remember at primary school, after class tests, the teacher would say to everyone, "Gather up all your books." And we all had to leave our places and go out the front of the class. And then the teacher would reseat everyone according to the results in the test. I take it that happened here. When you went to school, you were reseated. So you knew. You could say, "Well, I'm not as good as so-and-so at the top of the class, but I'm better than so-and-so at the bottom," because we all knew our place. Well, unfortunately, if we measure our discipleship in this way, then we are thinking like the Pharisees or Jesus' listeners at the time. The Pharisee was a good man, never put a foot wrong, constantly checked he didn't do anything they shouldn't do, just to make sure he was always on the right road. But the problem for him was, it wasn't God's road. His concern was always to act in the correct manner. To use modern terminology, he displayed all the correct behaviourals. Where he fell down, he judged himself by his own standards, not God's. Because it says the Pharisee went to pray. He wasn't really praying to God. He was telling God how good he was. How he was more righteous than anyone else, all those round about him. Because he believed this good behaviour, his good life, meant a good relationship with God. And by comparing himself to a genuinely bad person, the tax collector, it was no contest. See, the question is not, how do I compare with anyone else or their standards? Instead, the question is, how do I compare against God's standards? Because that's the only one that matters. As the Pharisee couldn't see, that's what the tax collector was only too aware of. I read that William Barclay used to tell a story of a train journey in England. He made to England. As the train passed through a desolate and bleak area of the Yorkshire Moors, he saw a little whitewashed cottage. And he said the contrast was stark. That little white cottage seemed to shine with an almost radiant whiteness. Some days later, he made the return journey. As the train passed the same section of moors, there had been a heavy fall of snow. And we came to that little white cottage. This time, its whiteness seemed drab, almost grey in comparison with the brilliant whiteness of the newly fallen snow. You see, it all depends what we compare ourselves with. Tax collector, the Pharisee compared himself with a bad person, he's going to look good. Tax collector made no comparisons in his prayer. For him to come to the temple in the first place would have been difficult because he wouldn't have been welcomed. He was a man who acknowledged there was much wrong in his life. A man so conscious of what he himself describes as sin, he couldn't even lift his head up. And he offers no excuses. makes no attempt to justify the things he's done. He pleads no exonerating circumstances. All he can do is ask God's mercy. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. May have been a bad person, but this was a prayer uttered in true honesty. It was a prayer God answered with his forgiveness. There's a truth the Apostle Paul experienced. Bill read to us from the second letter to Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. Finished the race. And that was a race Paul entered after experiencing the road to Damascus. Until then, he had been a faultless Pharisee. And he followed every religious law and regulation to the letter. As a Pharisee, he persecuted Christ's followers because he believed Christ's way was wrong and he was right. Now he realized a real living relationship with God was not by following a series of rules, only be by God's grace. And that was a grace that continued throughout his life. When first in trial, God is a Christian, although his friends deserted him, he said that he was never alone. God stood at his side to support him. God's grace sustained him. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. So like the Pharisee, we can pray as much as we like. We can come to church every Sunday. Give till it hurts. Read Bible morning, noon and night. We can, like the Pharisee, do all the right things, tick all the right boxes. It's still not the right in God's sight. All we can do is ask for God's grace. As a tax collector found out, regardless of what our life is or has been, when we come to God with an open and honest heart, we will be welcomed. It's astonishing to think God accepts us as we are, warts and all. When we admit our shortcomings, our failings, our faults, in other words, our sin, then like the tax collector, we will find forgiveness. God welcomes us with open arms. In this passage Luke records for us, we see a right relationship with God begins in humility. Not self-promotion, it's humility. Humility opens us to receive God's restoring mercy, his grace, and that in turn shapes our approach to others. Humility. So this morning, let us put aside any thoughts of comparison with anyone else, and in humility come before God, coming in all honesty as ourselves, just as we are, with all our blemishes, with our weaknesses, with our fears, praying from the heart, simply and truthfully. This morning, let us ask God's forgiveness for all that might be wrong in our lives. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And it's in that way we receive his forgiving grace. And then we can lift our heads up high, can stand before him as new people. And we can go home right with God. Can lift our heads up high, made clean, life renewed. And that is wonderful. That is the effect of God's grace. So then, with Paul, we too can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. May we all keep the faith in these challenging times in which we are living. Amen. Well, thinking of Paul saying, "I've fought the good fight," we're going to sing hymn 517. Fight the good fight with all your might. It's 517. We make our response to God's word in our offering. Our offerings will be uplifted. In light of Jesus' parable and recognizing our dependence on God, we come to him in a spirit of true humility to dedicate our offerings, ourselves, and offer our prayers for the church and for others. Let us pray. Loving and generous God, these offerings we lay before you and we dedicate to you are symbols of our commitment to you and to the work of your church. May your blessing rest on them, that they may be used wisely and imaginatively in the service of your kingdom. May that same divine blessing rest on us, that we too may use the gifts of wisdom and imagination that you've given us to work and witness for you in the coming days as we strive together to meet the changing and challenging times that your church and your people face. Remembering Paul's words and encouraged by you, may we be enabled to continue to fight the good fight and keep the faith, especially when we feel dispirited. Heavenly Father, when we read the words of Jesus in the parable he told, we're reminded it's an honest and open heart you seek. It's not empty ritual. It's not pious words or outward show. So when we sing and speak of your love, guide us in ways that we may show that love in our concern for others. Help us bring that love to life. As Christ reached out to all and shunned, excluded no one, so we pray for the church today in its service to the sick and its work with the neglected, in its stand for the poor, in its love for the outcast and concern for the ashamed. Remind us that all are valued by you. We pray for those who have lost their way, their direction in life, those who see only confusion and know only disappointment, those who cannot even lift their head through shame or fear of rejection. Guide them to your way. Lead them in your truth. Help them hear your call, your words of encouragement. Let them experience the new life in you. We bring to you those for whom life is a bitter and constant struggle, for those who each day face pain and suffering, for those whose lives are clouded by bereavement. Surround with comfort and reassurance those who feel spiritually or emotionally drained. Heal and mend broken bodies and broken hearts. And there are people known to us, gracious God, in our families, as our neighbours, as friends, who need your help at this time. So please hear us as we name and bring them to you in their own silent personal prayers. Hear all our prayers, Father, both spoken and silent, for we bring them to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in the parable, the tax collector went to the temple to pray, so conscious of all that was wrong in his life, couldn't even lift his head through shame. And he would have been astonished to know that through his simple, honest prayer, he could be forgiven and made right with God. It's amazing to think. It's also an offer he makes to us. So it is in thanksgiving and in gratitude we'll sing our closing praise. Hymn 396, "And Can It Be?" It's hymn 396. Now, as we leave this place, let us go out with open arms and in Christ's love reach out to those the world rejects. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among each one of us and remain with us now and forevermore.